Good morning, brothers and sisters. In our gospel parable today, Jesus is clearly focusing the story upon the sinful servant, the wicked servant, the one who did not do what his master asked of him. And it's important to look in detail at the dialogue between the servant and the master after the master returns from his long journey. So the master approaches the servant as he has the other two and is expecting some type of explanation for the behavior of his servant or lack thereof. And the servant says, presenting the one talent without making any increase, "Master, I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant and gathering where you did not scatter. So out of fear, I went off and buried your talent in the ground. Here it is back." Now, on some level, this may seem like a reasonable argument. Of course, the master represents the Lord, and the servant represents any one of us. And God has certain expectations of us. We use this word talent in the English language to mean a personal gift or ability. It was just a certain amount of money back in the day. A large sum of money, actually. So regardless of what talents, monetarily, intellectual, physical, you may possess, they're all gifts from God, ultimately, and God expects a return for him, for his kingdom, and his honor. And it's different for each one of us. Remember, the gospel says that he gave them talents according to their abilities. So he's not going to give you more and expect more from you than you can give. Our Lord is perfect. He knows everything. But this wicked servant's argument is, since I know you're so demanding, since I know you're such a strict and aggressive taskmaster, that I didn't want to lose your money, so out of fear, I just buried it. I didn't spend it at all. So here it is back, unchanged. And what is the master's response? "You wicked, lazy servant." First, he calls him out. "You're wicked and you're lazy. So you knew that I harvest where I did not plant and gather where I did not scatter. If then, should you not have put my money in the bank so that I could have got it back with interest on my return?" You see, he calls out the servant based on his own excuse. "Really? I'm a hard taskmaster. I demand so much. If you were really afraid of me, you would have found some way to increase my talents. You would have found any way just to please me. You didn't bury that talent out of fear of me. You buried that talent because you're wicked and lazy." And that's the message of the readings this weekend. This fear of God, it's one of the most important virtues that we possess as believers. The Bible tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. But what does it mean to fear God? Well, there are, as we know, two types of fear of God. There's servile fear and filial fear. Now, the one that's being focused on in the gospel today is just servile fear. That's it. Not the higher, more saintly filial fear where I love God so much I fear offending him and I just want to please him. That's wonderful. That's what we strive for. We're talking just base, holy fear of God, meaning I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to displease the master and get punished. That is still good and holy fear. And most of us don't even fear God enough in that way. And then, like this wicked, lazy servant, we seek to make justifications for why we are not obeying the master, why we're not doing what we're told. This is a very common argument, not only among Christians, but especially among those who claim to reject God. "Oh, if there is a God, or if he's good, then there's so much suffering in the world. I'm sorry, I can't love a God like that." Well, fine, don't love him. Fear him. Fear him. Because if there is a God, then you better do what you're told. Because even if he's not good, he'll crush you. Now, that's not the God we believe in. We believe this God is actually good. And so when he gives us commandments, and when he places responsibilities on our shoulders, we believe it is for our good. But whether you believe that or not is irrelevant. You should fear him. Because if you don't obey him and seek to serve him, there are dire repercussions. And what happens to the servant in the gospel today? The good that he did have was taken away from him, and he was cast into the outer darkness where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. And we know what that means. Anytime we hear that imagery, that is hell, eternal damnation. So how do we know individually whether we fear God sufficiently? How can we figure that out? Because it's not always clear, and I'm sure all of you sitting here to some degree fear God. That's a good thing. But it doesn't mean we do it sufficiently or perfectly yet. Well, anytime you fail in some act of obedience or service to God, when you know his will, that tells you you don't fear him enough. You see, the servant in the gospel, he was lazy. That's what we learn from the master. What did he love more than anything? He loved not working. He loved relaxing. And so he feared work more than he feared the master. See, he had displaced fear. When you love something, you fear losing that thing. You fear losing it. So if I'm tempted by laziness like this servant, obviously I'm not a big fan of work. I love to relax. That's great. There's nothing intrinsically evil in resting. Obviously God gave us a whole day to rest. But when I love rest more than I love God, and so when I should be working, and I don't, that means I love rest more than God. Therefore, I fear losing, giving up, sacrificing my rest, my ease, more than I fear God and his authority and his punishments and his goodness. And people think, oh, God understands. He's merciful. He's loving. Well, he is merciful and he is loving, but he's also God and he's demanding. And he'll use your own excuses to condemn you on the day of judgment. For one simple reason, because you did not fear him. And so all you have to do is look in your life in any way in which you know what God is asking of you. And it oftentimes has to do with your relationships, spouses, children, parents, coworkers, whatever. That's pretty common. But it could be even politics, right? Society, whatever it is, where you notice that you are failing in some type of virtue, you know the Lord is asking you to be more patient, more generous, more prayerful. Whatever that thing is where the Lord is asking you to serve him better, and you're not doing it. We're not talking about ways in which you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. That's ignorance. In those cases, you need to seek knowledge and understanding. But we're saying when you know what God wants of you and you're still not doing it, it's for the simple reason that you don't fear God enough. You fear the thing that he's asking of you more. That's the grave error. You usually fear it, we usually fear it, because of the suffering that will come from doing God's will. Whatever that suffering may be, to forgive that person is really going to cost me a lot. And I don't want to pay that debt. I fear the debt. I fear that more than I fear God, so I don't forgive. Or I'm not patient. All it is displaced love and displaced fear. And it's important that we look more deeply into our hearts and evaluate our degree of love and fear of God. Many souls are lost, are damned for eternity, not because they weren't perfect saints, but because they didn't fear him enough. Take confession, for example. It's one of those necessary sacraments that we don't necessarily love, but we know we need. And whether I like the sacrament or not is irrelevant. Jesus Christ, God, instituted it for the forgiveness of my sins. Therefore, in order to be forgiven, I go, no matter how much I may fear it. I go out of fear of God more than out of fear of the priest judging me or having to humble myself and reveal these hidden sins in my life. And if I feared God more, I would go no matter the cost. That's the simple truth. It's not an easy truth. All of us have weaknesses and failings in this way, and none of us fear the Lord enough. But this is where we must grow. We must ask him for that virtue, for that grace. Lord, teach me to fear you. But in order to do this, we need to keep in mind this truth of hell. When we consider the damnation of souls and the potential loss of our own salvation, that can elicit holy fear in us. It can motivate us to work a little harder, to fear God a little more. And it's not something we like to do. I mean, it's not like every morning you wake up and say, "Hey, children, remember, you may go to hell if you don't obey us today." I mean, maybe that'll work, but it's not one of those pleasant thoughts. But it certainly can be motivating. Now, we have a God who doesn't want anyone to go to hell. If you ever read of Our Lady of Fatima in 1917 when she appeared to the three children, she gave them a vision of hell. Three little kids, terrified them. But it motivated them as well. And they started praying and doing penance every day, not so much for themselves, but for all souls that could go to hell. These are three children. You see, the knowledge of hell is not our enemy. Jesus said that the truth will set us free. We don't like thinking about certain truths, but they are good. And so we pray for that grace that we need to keep in mind the judgment of God, the fact that he is the Lord, that he is our master, and he has expectations for us. And that we need to fear him so as to serve him faithfully. And when we fail, we need to fear him and go to confession so that he can forgive us. But always be willing to take a deep look into your heart and say, do I fear him more than I fear this earthly thing, this earthly love, or the loss of this earthly good? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.